Welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast exploring the world of work and how creative entrepreneurs, storytellers, and rule breakers infuse their daily lives with creativity and curiosity. Earlier this week in my paid newsletter for Getting Work to Work, I was reflecting upon the question, how is your body of work holding you back from experimenting with risky creative ideas and exploring new directions? No matter how long you've worked on your craft, you inevitably amass a body of work. The apparent measure is quantity, but you can also look at quality with an eye toward growth and outcomes. But the more I think about my body of work, the more I wonder if it's a hindrance rather than a help. What does it communicate to a potential employer or client? And how can it hold you back by morphing from what you've done into a statement of being on brand, not to mention consistency? Questions aside, I want to explore what to do if you feel stuck and need to take a creative chance beyond what you've done before. Show notes for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/773. While you're there, you'll also find the entire podcast archive, links to the short documentary series and weekly newsletter, and the latest merch to show your love and support of the show. This isn't the first time I've talked about the importance of our body of work as creatives, and it definitely won't be the last. It's a topic I reflect upon a lot, especially during those moments of dramatic despair when I blatantly lie to myself about my capabilities. I can't do anything. But the benefit of doing anything creative for a period of time is that you have an established history of being able to do it. You have artifacts. You have things that you can actually look at and experience. You have a demonstrated pattern of completion. But early on, you also have a pattern of experimentation, risk, failure, growth, success, and reward. A single moment of reflection can definitely quiet that internal critic and judge. But the interesting thing about a body of work is that at a certain point, experimentation, risk, and failure starts to disappear from the overall public presentation. The earlier work that is imperfect and a few steps beyond your capabilities is replaced with polish and a blend of perfection that aligns with a constant desire to be seen as relevant and professional. You curate a portfolio, write case studies, and build systems and processes that become formulaic and safe. Instead of a body of work, we cherry-pick the very best. And while there's nothing wrong with that, returning to those early years is helpful to not only witness your journey and where you're at, but also to let you know when it's time to reintroduce creative risk and experimentation. That's where I find myself right now in my career, and maybe you are too, because my body of work is screaming at me that it's time to shake shit up, to take more chances, and to do something completely different. So in this episode of Getting Work to Work, I'm going to share four ways to inject creative risk and experimentation into your creative journey. First, re-examine your systems and processes. How we do our work is crucial to running a business. It helps to have a better idea of what something will cost, where we'll need people to bring the project to life, and what those desired outcomes are for clients and for our company. A lot of my work is iterative, which I love, but with iteration comes repetition and familiarity. And unless it's built into the system, repetition can become boring, safe, and irrelevant. So a great starting point to injecting some creative risk and experimentation is in the re-examination of your systems and processes. If it's running smoothly, then you're going to be hesitant to make any changes. But the reality is that change will come, whether you make it for yourself or it's forced upon you. Look for ways to add new phases of ideation, imagination, or even experimentation. Maybe you're like me and you need to dream a little bit bigger and incorporate more time to do that so that your projects begin to take on a new measure of importance. Another thing you can do is to start subtracting parts from your process that maybe have become rote or dull, otherwise known as the status quo. Because no matter what we do, there's always going to be a pull to be able to do it again and again and again and say, this is how it's always been done. By finding steps in the process to remove, it does force you to re-engage with your work, your team, and your customers. One thing to note here is that if you've never documented the steps it takes to do your work, I encourage you to do it. I once wrote down every step it took to make an episode of this podcast. I think it was somewhere between 15 and 20 steps. And it was very enlightening, to say the least, because when you know the steps, you can start to then analyze where hiccups occur or where you're lying to yourself. The second way to start re-injecting some creative risk and experimentation is to identify playing it safe behaviors and how you can counter them with small creative risks. There are business behaviors that can hold you back from success. You know, things like not emailing clients about late invoices, definitely not charging enough, or not raising your prices. But the behaviors I want to address in this step are the creative ones, the ones that hold us back. Doing work that looks like someone else's because you think that it will have the same impact, or creating projects that you think people will support even though they're boring to you and your heart's not into them. Maybe you're not quitting a project that's run its course, or you're ignoring long-term projects in favor of short-term projects, procrastinating on short-term projects instead of investing in larger long-term projects. The list really is endless on how we can play it safe as creatives. There are too many in my own life and business to list, but the one I'll touch on is this: not writing my book and instead spending time writing weekly newsletters. That is definitely a playing it safe behavior because I can see the dashboard and impact of weekly newsletters. It's very comforting. Sure, subscribers come and go, but I do see who's reading, who's unsubscribing, all of that data. But with a book, I don't have any of that yet. It's a hope and future-based activity. There probably will be that information one day, just not yet. Not for another 6 months to a year, and that can be overwhelming to consider. So the small creative risk at this point is to work on my book anyway, each week. I would say daily activity, but that feels too massive right now. So what if I could work on it for 5 minutes a week? Or maybe just getting used to opening the manuscript every week. That seems like a great start. I just have to overcome these safe behaviors by taking a small chance. And for you, maybe it's identifying that project that gnaws at you during the night and finding ways to give it a small shot. The third way to inject some risk and experimentation is to imagine your creative future based upon what you're doing today. It's relatively easy to look at your entire body of work as it exists and see past and present patterns. From suck to success, you get the picture. But it's harder to imagine what the future may look like. Maybe you want more of the same, or you want more growth in terms of followers, clients, whatever. So look at where you're at, what you're currently making. And if you made zero changes, what would you imagine your future work to look like in a year? Is that what you want to be doing, what you want to be making? Would you be content? Would you be happy? And if the answer to any of those questions is no, you don't want to be making the same work in a year, now is the time to start making changes. No matter the creative industry you're in, there are always things you can change. As a photographer, you can change a lens or even the type of lighting. Filmmakers can experiment with narrative, documentaries, short or long form content. You can even try to make a film by yourself, or if you're used to doing that by yourself, find more collaborators, designers, less colors, or as many as you can possibly use, color palettes that you're not comfortable with. The goal here is to push yourself beyond the borders of what you consider to be professional, your brand, and your portfolio, because it's time to suck again. Because if you don't suck, you're going to be sucking wind eventually. Now, an important note here is that you don't have to suck at everything. You just have to find one little thing to suck at and slowly get better at it. One of the things that I like to do is every time I do a new project, I like to find a way to push myself. One way that I'm going to suck and explore and try things out. And it gets better each time. The fourth and final way to inject some creative risk and experimentation is to seek new partnerships and collaborators. There is something enticing with fresh blood in a creative business. When you open yourself up to new partnerships and collaborators, you get to see how other people do the things you do. We can get too comfortable by ourselves and with our trusted team of collaborators. Things get stale. And just like any relationship, whether platonic, romantic, or even professional, sometimes you need that outside perspective from someone new to re-inject the life into that relationship. Maybe you bring in a new freelancer to help you out with a portion of your process that you no longer enjoy, or you find a new subcontractor to partner with to tackle large-scale projects. When you open yourself up to new partners and collaborators, you see where you're comfortable and where you can push into new areas. A question I love to ask my guests on the show is about collaboration. Does it come easy to you? A lot of people say yes, yet for me, and those of you who are like me, it doesn't come easy. I have to work really hard at it. And in order to do collaboration, I have to be prepared for it. I have to give myself a pep talk on why it's important, how it can help me, and the impact it can have on others and my clients. But I also have to be willing to fail, which is hard to admit because I don't have the experience, so it's a lot of work. And what if the failure doesn't lead to results and rewards? But if I don't, then I'm going to fail anyway. Collaboration, whether you succeed or fail at, doesn't minimize its importance. It just shows how you can grow and evolve into that next step beyond your body of work. It really is amazing what a body of work can communicate to us if we're willing to examine that trajectory from where we started to where we find ourselves today and ultimately where we want to go next. I hope you'll take some time to give yourself and your business an honest assessment and start making small, necessary changes. If anything, your future self will thank you for doing the work before you were forced to do it. Now, an important note for the solopreneurs out there, if you work alone, like I do, it can be really hard to do this work by yourself. If you need someone to look at your work and business objectively and help you brainstorm some ways to inject creative risk and experimentation into your work, feel free to reach out. I would be honored to hold space with you and walk alongside as you experiment and evolve your creativity. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.